We're going to be discussing being rooted. We're going to start tonight with being rooted in Christ, but we're going to talk about a few other topics as the week goes on, the weeks go on. I think next week for sure we're going to talk about being rooted in trust, because I think we all struggle with trusting God. If I do speak for myself, I do say I do as well. So, and I'm not talking about trusting like God with the small things, like those are hard, but trusting God with the big things as well, you know, it's a very difficult thing. And I think once we start learning who we're rooted in, it kind of, that truth starts to set us free a little bit of, you know, in God's timing, it sets us free. Sometimes it happens like that, but sometimes it takes time. So tonight we're going to talk about being rooted in Christ, and I'm so excited because the Bible is really powerful, and it changes our lives. And actually, I'm a firm believer at 46 years old, semi-educated, and a Christian for, I don't know how long now, what, since I was 16, I can honestly say there is nothing else that has any power to change a person. There is nothing else. There are lots of techniques you can use. There are lots of things you can do. And some of them are pretty helpful. But I actually don't think that we can change outside of the scripture of God. And it's quite interesting because Scott and I were talking. He read an article the other day. If I bore you, I'm sorry. But I'm a little bit tiny interested in like psychology, just a wee bit. And we were reading an article the other day. For ages and ages and ages, psychology has told you that you cannot change. That your personality cannot change. I've seen Christians change. I've seen people get saved and become a whole new creation in Christ. So I never bought into that. And just now psychology is coming around to the fact that maybe a personality can change. Mm-hmm. And I thought, isn't that ironic? God was already there years ago. So I have seen people change. You've changed. You've seen people change. But I do honestly believe that change only comes through Christ. And I talked to you last time we met. We talked about how you can try AA, you can go to therapy, you can do all these things. Those things will help you, but they do not give you life. They do not give you life. That's the difference. So those things, though they're helpful, they do not give us life. So I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures, and for that I'm a tiny bit sorry because I know it's a bit much to kind of rummage through everything. But at the same time, it's what brings us life, so we might as well just eat from the bread of life and drink from the fountain, right? I'd like to start with John 3:16. Now, I don't know if it would be easier. Maybe I should ask Jacqueline here. Is it easier if I read them, or is it okay if somebody else reads them? Or do you, like, is that okay for the recording? Or should I just put it in the middle of the room? Or? All right, I'll just put it in the middle because I think last time it was a bit muffled from...
Yeah,
right.
Time.
Okay, and then I'll just take
that one
and
just read. Yeah, clearly.
And then we'll edit that whole portion out.
And then I'll put Daniel.
Exactly. Okay. So somebody wants to start, or if even you want to recite together John 3:16, because I think that's fundamental to everything, isn't it? Because even when Jacqueline and I were talking about this, Jacqueline and I are very different, by the way. Jacqueline is very, she's a lot more nicer and softer. I, on the other hand, am a lot more like... So when we were talking about this, she said... let's talk about being rooted in love, and let's talk about everything. But what are you thinking, Danielle? I thought, how about we just start with death to self, and then we go into growing. And you should have seen Jacqueline's face. It was a little bit like, okay. And I think it's important for all of us to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the beginning is, for all of us, John 3:16, I think. Do you want to just recite it together? Right? We'll do that. Okay. So, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen, that's right. And then if we can go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if somebody wants to read that. That was fun, by the way.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Psychology just caught on to that how many hundreds of thousands of years later. Mm-hmm. So we're a new creation. And what happens to the old stuff? What does it say?
Passed away.
Gone. So we like to rummage in the old stuff. You know, as the scriptures say, like a dog returning to its vomit. You know, we like to go back to that stuff because in some weird twisted way it comforts us. I don't know the way in which it does, but I've been there and I know that it does. But you're a new creation.
creation, if I was you and I had a vow right now, I'd circle new. Because I would want to remind myself all the time that I'm new, you're new. This whole journey we've begun, it's a brand new journey in our life. And like maybe you got saved, like I said, when I was 16 years old, or maybe you're saved recently. You're a new creation in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to forget everything right away or that it's all. I mean, God can do those things. I totally believe that God can do whatever God wants to do. But I also think that a lot of times you have to work through some of that stuff. I think we were talking about that one time, about some of the things that are past that we need to work through. And sometimes we let God have those things immediately, and then sometimes we sort of take them back and torture ourselves a little bit. And we don't mean to do it. It's just in our nature, and God recognizes that, and he says that he will put out a burning ember. You know, he understands that about us. So I think it's important that you do not leave here tonight without remembering that you are a new creation, that you are new, right? Because when you take roots, there's a punk song called Root Down. When you take root down into Christ, that's a whole new work. What was done before is gone. It's done. And it's a whole new work now. And I think this is one of the greatest weaknesses of Christianity, is that when people get saved, they don't start building on a new foundation, and we don't get properly discipled. Has anybody here ever been discipled? Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it would be a pretty low number. So, and I think that's part of our weakness as the church, is that when we come into salvation, we don't actually try to find out that we actually have a new identity in Christ. We have a brand new identity. So we start doing this Christian thing with the old identity, and it's just this conflict. And we're like, what is all this conflict about? Why can't this be this way and that be that way? Because that stuff is no longer part of this world. It's no part of this foundation. It's no longer part of what God is growing in you. So then we'll go to Galatians 6, 14 to 16. Galatians 6, 14 to 16.
But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation.
I mean, if you want, you can go to 16.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God.
So what is God saying there? What counts is? What does it say? What counts?
New creation.
That's what counts. It doesn't count the right or the wrong of what you're doing or what you're practicing. What counts now, we start with the fact that we're a new creation. Mm-hmm. We're a new creation. And we can't boast in anything. That's what I love. We start taking on our Christianity as if it's about us. And the truth is, it's not about us. I chose you, it says in the scripture. I chose you that you would go and do such and such. I chose you. The onus is on God. It's always on God. It's not up to you to push fruit out of your life or get your roots growing or whatever it is. You know, you don't become an overcomer by forcing overcoming. The onus is on God. It happens in your life in God's timing, in God's way, through prayer, through being ministered to, through reading the Word, through being discipled, through finding out your new identity. The onus of everything that matters in your life is on God's back. Because you're His new creation, and that's what matters. And then let's go to Ephesians chapter 22. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, there is no 22. It's one of the smaller ones. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Anyone who wants to read that?
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt and according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Right. So that old stuff has to be put away. Because we can't grow if we're holding on to the old stuff. We just can't. Who here wants to admit that they've tried to grow holding on to the old stuff? Right. How does that go for you? Yeah, kind of unsuccessful, right? Like a bit frustrating.
And then let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Told you I was going to have you in a few places. But it's good for you to see for yourself what the Word of God is saying. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. No, 9 through 11, sorry.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all.
Yeah. So don't lie to yourself. Put off those former practices. Now, I want to talk about former practices. I was going to talk about it later on, but I'm going to talk about it now. The former practices and the things that we used to do. We used to lie to ourselves. We used to let Satan lie to us. We used to cheat. We used to be deceitful. We used to grab at things. Actually, further on in my notes, I'll say, we used to make idols out of everything. You know, maybe it's off path as well, but I was thinking about the four things that I've learned to comfort Scottish people in the last 15 years that I've lived here. I'm not saying you in particular, I'm saying as what I've learned. Drink, right? A cup of tea, put the kettle on now. A chocolate bar, and a darn good holiday. Like, those are the things that you see, right? And I was thinking about all those things last night before I went to bed. I was like, those are the four things that comfort. Because I was like, what would be the thing? And then I started thinking about, well, actually what motivated me to think about is I look at Facebook. And I see what comforts people on Facebook. You know, and I'm looking, oh, the drink's comforting that person. Oh, it's a cuppa. You know, they're getting together for a wee weather. And then there's the chocolate. Oh, and we better go on a holiday. And so there's all these things that we do in our former ways of life. I'm not saying they're, like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that we make idols of things, and this is what I found out. We make idols of things in order to sedate the misery. Before we come to Christ, we make idols of everything. And we try to create this wonderful, fantastic life for ourselves, and we just build up this thing, and inside, we're suffering. You know, we're struggling, our marriages are struggling, our kids are struggling, our families are struggling, our finances are struggling, and I know this is in every case, but I mean, I'm just looking at life as it is for where I live and where I'm at, and so we make that better by quick, let's get out of here and let's run over there and that'll make everything better. And so we tend to make these idols out of things to sedate that misery, that unhappiness, but the reality is what we're doing is we're just replacing God. So those former ways of life need to go. And God's like, just let me be God and let me have my way. And I love you so much. And yeah, some days it's going to hurt and some days it's not. And I actually want you to grow up. That's what growing roots is all about. Growing roots is all about growing up. It's all about maturing as a Christian. We can't be shallow Christians. That was something I put in my notes. I didn't add it in now, but I had it in earlier. I don't know why I took it out. Maybe I was afraid of hurting your feelings. We can't be shallow Christians. What happens to a tree that has very shallow roots? Does anybody know? Boom! Just falls over. The first storm that comes, the first incident that happens, that storm will just knock you over. And we've seen it happen, haven't we? And as a matter of fact, if I'm being honest, that was probably my first few years of my Christian faith. You know, anything that came my way that tested my faith, I was just a big coward. You know, and then God's like, would you just grow up? You know, my feelings being hurt or whatever it is that we do as our humanness overtakes us. And then God's like, you know, it's time. It's time to just mature yourself a wee bit and get some roots and start growing up. And the beauty of growing up is somebody once showed me something at the old church that I went to. But actually the church that raised me in Christ. This woman showed me this tree. I am the worst drawer, by the way. Drawer, however you say the word. And I don't know if anybody who here has horticultural wisdom. By the way, I've gotten so fascinated, Jennifer. So there's this little thing that you put next to a tree when it's trying to grow. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
That holds it up?
Mm-hmm.
When you start growing roots and you start maturing, you start becoming this for other people. You start being able to be that thing that helps somebody else grow roots. And Satan wants to hold you back from that. God forbid you get it right. Because if you get it right, you get to start helping other people get it right. And he doesn't want that. So he'll lie to you any way he can.
So, okay, I think before I burden you with too many verses here. So, what we're being made into and what's happening is that if you accepted Christ, a seed has been planted in you. And it's now, for the only way that I know how to say it, it's germinating. It's growing. And I went on God on YouTube, which I'll bring it to you next week. I went on God on YouTube and I started doing time lapse of root germination. Do it. It's actually fun. It will be really distracting after a while. But you see how this little seed just goes into the dirt. And it just gets a little bit of water. And boom, it just starts growing these roots really fast. And then it starts having a pod grow out of it and the leaves and all that. And as I was looking at that, one little time lapse said, watch what happens when you create a drought. And it just did a drought on the plant. And the roots went mental. They went looking for water anywhere they could find it. I thought, that's what we're like. You know, we go through a drought in our lives and we're just searching for God. Where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? And you will, you'll find him. You know, something will come of it eventually. But that's how we grow up. You know, that's how we grow up. There was a season in my life where I didn't hear God speak to me for it. If I told you how long, you would never come back to Bible study. A very long, long, long time. As a matter of fact, I didn't teach the scriptures for a good 6-year portion of my life because I didn't hear God speak to me for a good 6-year portion of my life. So I just stopped teaching because I couldn't hear his voice at all. I couldn't even make it up for trying. Like, I just couldn't hear it. I was in a drought. And sometimes drought is self-induced, but sometimes God will allow that. And it's to mature me, to say, are you going to follow me? Even if you can't. You're going to love me just based on that cross? You know, is that enough? So, it tells us in... Oh, I didn't give that verse. But I'll read it to you. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat, and this is on behalf of Jacqueline, is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And that's what that whole coming alongside is. It's that producing new lives. But that can't happen until we choose to walk in that new life and put roots down in that new life and create new history in that new life and new memories in that new life. Scott and I were talking about that today where, you know, you get saved. So here's this line of salvation. And God's saying, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't ponder that. Now, he's not saying don't act like it never happened. He knows it happened. What he's saying is don't live there. You know that verse in Deuteronomy, we've gone around this mountain long enough. Let's stop doing that. Don't live there. You need to now put some roots down somewhere else. And that's in Christ. That's the only place that we as Christians should be rooting ourselves is in Christ and in the Word of God. So I'll find that verse for you, by the way, but that's one of my favorite verses. Actually, that's the verse that God used to call me to the mission field, because to me, death was walking away from everything I knew and starting all over again. And that meant like my family, my history, all the service I'd done for Christ up to that point and made a reputation for myself. And then I had to leave and I had to start over from scratch and die to all that. And no one cares if Danielle Key is in shots. You know, that'll take your ego down a few notches. No one cares that I can teach the Bible. As a matter of fact, no one wants to hear me even talk about it. I was walking, waiting for Vicky to come get me, and the lady down below in the shop, where are you off to, Danny? You're looking awfully lovely. Did you knit your jumper? I'm like, that would have taken me 100 years. No, I'm off to women's Bible study. Oh. You know, nobody cares. You know what I do? I had to die to all that. And I had to decide, is this what I'm called to? Because I want to see many lives come to Christ. As so does he. So we have to decide, are we going to allow God to say, are we going to allow ourselves to say no more of that and into the new life now, being rooted into the new life. So this is where we begin to be rooted in our new life, a new way of living, of breathing, of thinking and feeling. You know, even that has to be made new. New roots, new thoughts, new memories, new everything, being rooted into Christ now. A new life. The life that we were used to is gone. And then I wrote right after that, or it should be. It should be. It should become lesser of a memory. Now, I think in the world, if you told an unsaved person that, they would think that's cruel. you know, why? That's my life, and those are my memories, and I love this, and I love that. I think we need to count the cost of Christianity, mm-hmm. of salvation. You know, Christianity isn't a fluffy feeling. It's not, oh, I felt such a religious, emotional, great feeling today. That is shallow root. You know, those are some days we'll have that, and some days we won't. Some days we won't. Those are the ways which we've accomplished to make that. That's what I was talking about earlier about sedating ourselves. And then I said, but now. And then I want to take you to Matthew. And in Matthew, I'll read that to you. I'll read you the scripture, and then I'll read you God's description of what he's saying here. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Sorry, Matthew chapter 13. And I printed this. If you want to just pass it down. I meant to give each one of you one, but I didn't get that far. But it's just like a visual. I don't know how you are, but I'm a really visual person. So I do better by looking at images, and I kind of get a better idea, and that kind of gets my mind thinking. But when I was looking at that, it says, Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they did not have a root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it has produced a good crop, 160 and even 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, this is important, do you have ears? Then the message is for you. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then he goes on in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 through 23, and he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, he doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is why I think it's important we're disciples, because we get saved, and then if there's no one there to nurture that seed and help us, the enemy just comes in with whatever he wants. And he snatches it away. Do you know the day after I gave my heart to the Lord and Jehovah Witness showed up at my door? I'll tell you how that went later on. So when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, which I find interesting because wealth is the root of all evil. That's a negative root we have right there. Wealth, searching after, pursuing, and looking for just wealth is the root of evil, it tells us in the scriptures. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And I love that because that is where it begins. You know, you've heard the words. Has it germinated in you? Has it taken root? Has it grown? And you need to do what the scriptures say. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it tells us in the word. So we need to reflect on our own life. An unexamined life is a life not worth living. I don't know what philosopher said that, but one of them did. And we need to reflect on our own life, and we need to say, am I growing roots? Am I maturing? Have I changed from leaning on that way of life? Am I now growing my roots in Christ? And we need to ask ourselves these questions in order to grow, I think. And coming across this, I fell in love with a Bible verse that I actually fell in love with an entire passage, but I told myself not to do that to you. So I want to look at, if you will, Isaiah 43. So God's word has fallen on good soil, and it's taken hold of it. And then in Isaiah 43, I want to read all of it to you, but I don't know. I'm looking at it and I'm wondering how long it is. If I'm wondering if I should just focus on... Yeah, okay, I will just focus on those two verses, and then if I want, I'll go back over it. But Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. It says, it starts with, forget about what's happened. Do not keep going over old history. Verse 19, be alert, be present. I am about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Now that's in the Message. In the NASB, it says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? And I love this part. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, because when trees are planted, they are going to need water. So he's going to make sure you have that. And I love that, because the more I thought about that, I thought that is what happens. You take this tree, or you graph this in. I have to stand up. Sorry, you know what I get like. So here's this tree, right? Actually, it tells us in the Old Testament, as I was looking at some of these verses, that God will take an axe to the old tree. If it's not going to do what it's supposed to do, he'll just take an axe to it. And I think that's what happens. Our old life, it was unfruitful. It's a bit messed up. Now, I don't think everybody comes to Christ like that. I think some of us have good lives, and we finally recognize that we need Christ. But that old thing's cut away. It's plucked up. It's taken out. And this new seed is planted in you. And when the new seed's planted in you, he's saying, almost like Lot's wife, don't look back. You know, don't sit and meditate on those things anymore. And talking about psychology, Scott and I were saying how in therapy some therapists want you to go back and they want you to relive every single memory and every single thing that happened to you, and they want to work through every single one of those things. And I'm just thinking, that's a misery. That's heartbreaking, you know? Now, I think that if you want to work through those things with the scriptures, that might be different. And I think when you see your past in light of the scriptures, I think truth exposes itself. And you become enlightened. And God starts saying to you, okay, that's why that happened, or that's why that happened, or what was Jacqueline praying earlier, you know, we don't know why the things happened to us happen, but yet we know that those can be useful for God. And so we look at those things and we say, okay, those things can be useful, they can be used, but they're not where I'm supposed to live. They're not where I'm supposed to ponder, and they're not where I'm supposed to put my roots down. Right? I need to let go of those things. They're old history. And I need to be alert. You know, that's like alert. I don't know how to describe that any more than alert. I actually think I have a word study for you. So when he says don't go back to the old history and those old things, that actually means to make a memorial and to remind people in your presence about your past, and you make a memorial of it. And you sit there. Remember we talked about that one time? Somebody sees you come in and they see that stuff that you bring with you before they see you. You're making a memorial of all that stuff. A monument, a shrine. And God's saying, no, I don't want that to be. See, we're his witness. We're his testimony to this world. We're his light. And we won't be able to do that if we're pondering all that, if we're walking in all that. And then he goes on to say, I'm trying to try this, my word study. He says, don't ponder these things. Don't try to perceive them or observe them or mark them. Don't even try to discern them. Do you know, there are some things from my life before Christ, I don't know why they happened. I don't know why he allowed them to happen. I don't know how they could have happened, but they did. And there are some that I rightfully know exactly why they happened. So we can sit and we can ponder some things, but there will be some things we will never have answers for. And I think those are the things we just need to let go of. He says he's going to do something new, something brand new. And that word is actually fresh of this year and something unheard of. It means to sprout something, to grow something. And that's that new work is a sprouting and a growing in you. Now, I'm talking about the day of salvation. I'm marking the day of salvation because I think that everything changes for us at that point. And I think sometimes we have to go back to the beginning to figure out what we've done wrong. And I think that a lot of us are still living rooted in the world's ways because we don't understand that that axe has been taken to it, it's done, it's gone, and now we're re-rooted in Christ. And our new identity is found in Him. And what were we saying earlier in prayer? Someone was saying, you're chosen, you're a daughter. Like, you have to know those new roots. You know, those new roots, because I was talking to Scott about my old roots. And my old roots say, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat, no one will marry me. Do you know all these things that were rooted in me for my life? So then because I was dumb, there's no point in me going to college. You know, because I was ugly, there was no point in really trying to, like, take care of myself. So we get rooted in these things. And then Day of Salvation comes, and we need to deal a little bit with that. And we need to realize that stuff's gone. You're a daughter of God. You're a child of the King. You know, you're a princess, it tells you in the scriptures. You're far more valuable than rubies. You know, you are important. You are chosen. Chosen. You know, not many people can say that out in that world, that they were chosen. So we need to realize that there's a new work. It's a new sprout springing up, a new planting. But then even every single day in our lives, we need to realize that God's work is fresh in us. You know, we don't live on manna from yesterday. We live on a fresh work every day. And the reason why we need that fresh work is because He knows what's coming our way. And He knows if we're living on, like, old, moldy, stale bread, that's not going to sustain us for the news of today, for what's coming our way. So He will cause it to sprout. He will cause it to grow. And I love that. And I love that when famine comes, your roots are going to go straight looking for Him. They're just going to do it. Now let's go to Colossians 2, 6 and 7. That's my verse that that I started studying, and I actually need to get one. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is it. So walk in Him. And we were talking about that today as well, that there is so much I have found out, and I think I said this to you the last time we met, in the 20 million years, whatever it is, I've been a Christian. I actually thought that so much of my faith, I didn't have to do anything. But I'm realizing that when God says I need to walk in Him, that's Him telling me I need to walk in Him. You know, Danielle, get up this morning and walk in Him. Get up this morning and think about Him. Get up this morning and focus on Him. You know, I don't know what you're like, and I was thinking about this earlier during prayer when someone was talking about Satan lying to us. I know I've told you this before, that for like a good 10 years of my Christian walk, every single morning the first thought in my mind was, go kill yourself. Go kill yourself, go kill yourself, go kill yourself. And that was my first thought every morning. And every morning it was this drudgery. I can't even begin to tell you, this physical drudgery of trying to lift myself out of bed, trying to get myself into life so that I could go to work and do what I needed to do, fighting the thought the whole time, just kill yourself. You could do it this way, you could do it that way. And the whole time I'm getting dressed and trying to get on with life. And then one day sitting in the shower, just so overcome and fed up, and saying to myself, why is this my first thought? And all of a sudden, louder than life and so clear, God said, that is not my voice. Wake up, call. And that was when I started learning there's a difference between the voice that's been talking to me for the last, well, up to that point, 26 years, and the voice that's been trying to speak to me, which was God's voice. And that's when I started realizing, wait, there's God's voice, there's Satan's voice, there's the world's voice, there's my voice. Whose voice am I going to listen to? So every morning I have to wake up and I have to walk in Him. You all have to do it, don't you? For some of us, it is the drudgery and we still have to learn to discipline ourselves. And then there's some of us that it doesn't. You know, God has set us free from that. So walk in Him, having been firmly rooted. Having been firmly rooted. Where it says, therefore, as you have received, that word, I loved it. It says, therefore, since you've joined yourself up with Christ. Since you have made this conscious choice to join yourself up with Christ, you need to walk in Him now. You need to walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted. And I love it. It's, you are fixed, established. And it says in the, one of the definitions, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly rooted and thoroughly grounded. You know, none of God's works are partial. They're full on. Thoroughly rooted, thoroughly grounded, to become stable. And being built up in Him. That word built up is, I love this. It's your cause, your origin, and your source. Now, before we knew Christ, all that was messed up. But now, God is my cause. He's my beginning. The cause. He's my beginning. He's my origin. He's my source. He's where I spring from and where I come from. I was up in Loch Lomond for the Easter holidays. I've never met anybody like this before. But she was English. Is anybody English? She was English. And she says to me, I've never heard a Scottish person say anything like this, but she said to me, so where are you from? I said, I'm from California, but I live in Scotland. She said, is your whole family from California? And she started talking about my family. And all, you know, my son, his name is Angus. And I was like, oh, that's very Scottish. You're English, but that's a very Scottish name. Yes, our heritage and our roots go back to England, very, very, very far back to England. As a matter of fact, as far as I've looked in my history, we cannot see that our family has ever left this area. The area I come from is very wealthy, it's very posh. And that those are our history and our roots. We had no reason, you know, we didn't have a potato famine or anything, so we had no reason to leave. So we just, and she's going on and on, and she's just so proud, and she's just so, these are her roots, and these are her origins. And all of a sudden I hear God say, where is she rooted?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, that's it. That's her roots. That's what she has. And it's actually a tiny bit sad for me that was her roots, because I was like, I got my roots in Jesus, and that ain't going nowhere. But that's it. Like, He is our source. He is our origin. We come from Him. He is our beginning. He is the cause that caused us. You know that caused the universe? When you look out in space, the sun and the moon and all those galaxies, that is the same cause that caused you. That's how valuable you are to Him. So He formed you. And then He goes on and He says, to be established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. This other part where it says, being built up in Him and established, that's actually laying a foundation. That's that. Laying a foundation, you're planted, and you're going to start growing on that. Laying that foundation. And I hope in some way or shape or form, I don't know how long I've been talking, but that I've even said what you needed to hear. And that was that we have to start at the beginning. And we have to realize that old identity is gone. And we do want to hold on to it. We do want to hold on to it. But we need to let it go. And we need to give it to God. And put it in His hands. Because I don't want you to think that God is this bad God that is so mean He doesn't want you to ever look back again at the good things. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we leave that with Him. We don't sit and ponder it. And that we have a new life in Christ. And we have to start there. Because if we don't start there, and I start talking to you about all these other things, you're not going to know that that foundation's in Him. Because whatever we talk about for the rest of the 4 weeks, whether it be trust, whether it be love, whether it be faith, whether it be the Word, or whether it be hope, those things are Him. As a matter of fact, that's what is how I wanted to end tonight. That's how I wanted to end tonight. If we are grounded and rooted in Christ, could you answer me? Who is Christ to you? Just say it. Who is Christ to you?
Savior.
So you are grounded in a Savior. Who else?
He is love.
So you're grounded in love. So when your life is, whatever's going on, you need to realize that's all grounded in love. What else is He? Your Lord. So when you want to have the authority over your life, you are grounded in His authority. That's what you're grounded in. That's what your roots is. Your roots are going down into that love, that salvation, into your Lord. What else is He? What's that?
The lifter of your head.
So your life is grounded in the one that lifts you up out of whatever, as David said, the miry clay. You know, the depression, the anxiety, the worry, the fear that we feel at times. He's the one that lifts our head out of that. if we're rooted in him. What else is he?
Healer.
Healer. Amen to that one. He is the healer. Let's stop on that one for a minute, because Scott and I had a chat about this today as well. You don't have to believe this because I believe it, but I'm going to tell you what I believe, and then you can tell me if that's okay. I believe that God is the master of the molecule. And by that, I believe he owns every single cell in your body. And I believe when you surrender yourself to him, that if he so chooses, he can heal you. Okay? Now, I think that you're going to think I'm a nut job right now. I think that goes as far as our genetics. And even, though psychology is just caught up, your personality. The things that the world says cannot change, mm-hmm. he can.
Amen.
Amen. Because he is the healer. He is the master. And see, the world will go, as a matter of fact, I was having a chat with a lady who told me, we were talking about her child having autism. And she said, so I don't ask for people to pray for my son to be healed for autism. I was like, what's the harm in asking? Like, you know, that's fine if you don't want to, but what's the harm if somebody else does? You know, he's the master. He's the healer. So you are rooted in healing. You know, when you need that, that's who we go to. That's your soil. That's what you're in. You don't need to, like, go running beyond that. That's what you're in. What else is he?
He's my redeemer.
Your redeemer. In that Isaiah 43, he talks about how we've been bought back from slavery, mm-hmm. and the shackles have been taken off of us. And he also says, you are so valuable that he would sell his enemy for your soul. He would sell them because that's how valuable you've redeemed. So you're rooted in redemption. The shackles are off. You're rooted in redemption. What else is he?
The great I am.
Yeah, that encompasses it all. We can leave now. But he is. He's the great I am. You're rooted in what you need. What you need is him. And what we need is found in him. You know, we want to find it in so many things, ladies. Honest to goodness, the things that the world and what we would go through to find the things that we need when he is the great I am. What was the other one someone said out loud?
Freedom from sin,
which I would go back with redeemer, that the shackles being off. You know, we want to go back to those habits. The shackles are off. What else is he? The comforter. You read it in comfort. That was a very May Jacqueline. That soft, gentle, loving answer. I'd be like, we're rooted in the truth. But you're like, no, but we are rooted in comforting arms, which is good for two reasons. One, for someone like me that struggles with that, to learn how to let myself be comforted and to comfort others. And to know that I have someone who will always comfort me. You know, and that's amazing. Because there's people in your life that are like, I'm not answering that phone. I don't want to talk to them anymore. But God's always there to comfort us. You know, even when we make stupid, lousy mistakes, he isn't standing there waiting. He's waiting as a comforter. What else is he?
Your friend.
Our friend. He likes us, eh? Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? No, he likes us. He enjoys our company. He wants to be around us. So these are the things that you're rooted in. These are the things we're rooted in. Because we're rooted in Christ. So Tozer, who was self-educated, he didn't get to go to school like everybody else, he said the first thing that you should do as a Christian, and I love this, is think. And the reason why I love that is because when we start thinking about Christ, and we start thinking about whom we're rooted in, you just want to start praising him. Don't you? Right. Shall we pray?
Yeah.
Right. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak so authoritatively, but the truth is, Lord, these things they're hard to learn. They're hard habits to change. They're hard things to do. But we are also rooted in Christ, who is our strength. And he is our overcomer. And so, Lord, we just pray that as we allow you to take root into our lives, as we choose to walk in you, as we choose to build on you, that we would let go and stop pondering the lies of Satan, and that we'd stop pondering the ways of this world, And that we would remember that we are rooted in Christ, the Redeemer, Christ the Savior, Christ love, Christ the Comforter, Christ the I Am, Christ the Healer. You are all sufficient, and there is nothing on this world that gives us pleasure as much as you do, Lord. I pray that we would be set free, that we'd be set free from the sin that so easily entangles us, that we'd be set free from the lies of the devil and the things that he's spoken into our lives, that we'd be set free from our own crazy that overtakes us at times, Lord, that we would be set free, Lord, from this world every day, more and more, less attached to it, and that we would remember, Lord, that we are rooted in you and that we are going to grow in you. We're going to grow, Lord. People are going to look at us and they're going to be like, what happened to her? And it's going to be because we grew roots in you, Lord. I pray that we would continue to go from glory to glory. And Lord, that none of us would leave here tonight the way we came in. We are not defeated. We're overcomers in Christ. Lord, I just pray that Satan would not get a victory, that he would not have a foothold. But you, God, would get all the glory in our lives. And it tells us in Isaiah again that we are your witness. We are your light. That when we go out, that's who we are to this world, Lord. So, Lord, guide us and help us to walk in you daily. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.